You've aligned to the Wisconsin Department of Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin has nearly 20,000 adults in prison as of last week's census. More than half of the inmates have tested positive so far for COVID. How do you want to see the Department of Corrections address COVID at its 37 facilities? Is your loved one incarcerated? What are they telling you about conditions? We're at 800-642-1234. Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, no, I'm okay. Disregard. Hi.
Hi there, Secretary. More than half of inmates have now tested positive. Wisconsin among the highest infection rates in the country for the number of prisoners who've contracted COVID. Why is this?
Well, the answer that I can give you best is that if you look at the rate of spread that took place in the state of Wisconsin back in November of 2020, in fact, on November 23rd, we had about 2,294 active cases in our system, people who were positive for COVID-19. As of last Friday, we had 172. So what that tells me is that as the rate of community spread increases or decreases around our facilities, we see a corresponding effect on the folks who are positive in our facilities.
What is Corrections doing to bring these numbers down?
Well, you know, it's hard to put our finger on one single thing. Mm-hmm. But our facilities, again, are a part of the communities where they're located. And as community spread decreases and the rate of positivity decreases, so do the numbers in our facilities. Now, I will say that, you know, the mitigation strategies that we've been employing since the beginning of the pandemic, wearing masks, washing hands, you know, trying to social distance as much as possible in a congregate setting, you know, those things have been working. And we do everything that we can to try to monitor the folks in our care in the way of doing random testing and testing of folks who display symptoms of COVID-19.
When you say random testing, how often are inmates being tested for COVID?
Well, we work with the National Guard right now, and there's scheduled testing that takes place. And then we do what we call outbreak testing based on the conditions that occur in individual facilities. So we will be very soon implementing antigen testing at our facilities with a number of antigen tests that we've received from DHS, and that program should be up and running within the next week or two.
How about staff? How often are staff of the facilities tested?
Well, right now, that's a great question, because just recently we started testing all of our staff every other week, and we've contracted with an outside vendor to provide that testing for all of our staff every 2 weeks.
Looking at this dashboard, Racine Youthful Offender Facility has far and away the most cases right now, active cases. What is happening at this youth facility?
Okay, well, what happens is that they were one of the facilities last week where we did National Guard scheduled testing, where we go in and we test everybody in the facility. So wherever you do these scheduled National Guard testing, where they test all of the folks in our facility, you're going to come up with more asymptomatic positive tests.
Will this be happening at the other facilities?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said earlier, we have a schedule where the National Guard goes to all of our facilities on a scheduled basis to perform mass testing.
When an inmate tests positive, what happens to them?
Well, when an inmate tests positive, we quarantine and isolate them as best we can based on the facility where they are residing.
And right now, what are your numbers looking like for quarantine and isolation compared to what you've seen in the months, you know, leading up to this?
Those numbers are down.
We're talking with Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr about the spread of COVID in our state's prisons and what facilities are doing to stop outbreaks, with your questions as well at 800-642-1234. Secretary, so far 25 people have died related to the pandemic. When an inmate becomes seriously ill, how are they treated?
Well, when we can no longer provide the level of care necessary to treat a person who has any condition, whether it's COVID or anything else, while they're in our custody, we transfer them to a local hospital where they can receive the level of care that's appropriate for their condition.
So do you, you know, in the 25 inmates who've died so far, did their families get to say goodbye to them?
Yes, they do.
And so these inmates had been transferred to a hospital, or what was their status?
Well, you know, of course, a medical determination is made by medical staff, you know, at the facility where that individual is residing, and then they're transported by ambulance or paramedic to the hospital that the paramedic deems appropriate for the condition that's going to be treated. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, you know, when you look at this crisis and your facilities, does this make you reconsider prison density and the number of people behind bars in close quarters? Do you have the adequate space to effectively quarantine inmates, to effectively isolate inmates?
Well, we do the best that we can under the conditions that we're working with. But, of course, prior to the pandemic, okay, it was well known that due to the congregate nature of prisons and the fact that many prisons are overcrowded, that they are ideal conditions for the spread of viruses and disease. And obviously this new pandemic, the novel coronavirus, it's much more virulent and contagious, and it can certainly be more challenging to deal with under crowded conditions. But we're doing, I think, a terrific job, and I really have to say that I'm very proud of the staff that are working with these folks every single day, because if you compare what we're doing in the state of Wisconsin to some of the other states in the Midwest who have similar population sizes in their correction system, hands down, we're doing, I think, a good job.
Secretary, have you transferred inmates due to COVID?
Transferred in what way? You mean from facility to facility or?
Yes. Where? Yes, due to COVID. Uh-huh.
Sure. Since the beginning of the pandemic, we've had to modify the amount of transfers that have taken place because, obviously, if you have an outbreak at a particular location, you don't transfer people into that location. But as the conditions allow, we have resumed transferring people at a higher rate than we were, let's say, in November of 2020. So we are starting to move some folks around. As an example, our population right now is just under 20,000, which is the lowest that it's been since 1999, which is a reduction of, you know, 3,500 or so. With that being said, we've taken advantage of that opportunity to address a serious staffing concern that we had at Waupun Correctional Institution, and we are starting to realign some of the folks that we have in our care by classification, moving folks who are classified as medium classified folks at Waupun to medium prisons around the state, and that's lowering our population at Waupun and reducing our staffing need there.
Do you see that as your census continues week to week that your prison population will continue to decline?
Well, we hope so, but we don't have a crystal ball and we can't predict, a number of conditions that will impact that, such as, the rate of admissions from local county jails, sentencings that take place in the local counties. There's a number of factors that impact our ability to admit, new persons in our care.
We have Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr as we check in on how correctional facilities are managing the spread of COVID. Do you work at a correctional facility? What precautions are you seeing being taken? Do you live near a correctional facility? Do you worry about COVID spread in your community? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Secretary Carr here on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Department of Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr. Across all of the facilities, a total of 10,741 inmates have been infected with COVID since the pandemic started. That's from DOC's COVID dashboard. What do you want to know about testing, about quarantine, about conditions inside facilities? Join in 800-642-1234. And Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr is with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Mary now in Pewaukee. Hi, Mary. What would you like to say?
Hi. Yes, good morning. Considering the overcrowding in the prison system, in Wisconsin and elsewhere, has anything been done, which I had heard was going to be, with nonviolent crimes such as maybe, a small amount of marijuana or other drugs and the release of those criminals or, prison inmates to help reduce the COVID outbreak?
Hi. Well, thank you for your question. The Wisconsin Department of Corrections has very limited ability to release people who have been sentenced to prison. There are only a couple of opportunities for me as the secretary to make even just referrals to the court that sentenced somebody. For instance, like if you are have an extraordinary health care condition, and you are an older person in our care, you can apply for consideration to be referred to a court for early release. Now, since the beginning of the pandemic, I believe that my office has recommended to local courts between 30 and 40 individuals that we believe should be released and have plans that we think are acceptable for them to do well in the community, and then the court that sentenced them has to make a decision.
Mary, thank you for the question. We also heard from Kim, called in, couldn't stay with us, Secretary. Kim is an employee in the prison system and says, Kim isn't told if she meets with an inmate who may test positive a day later, and she's found that out multiple times. She says an inmate died recently at her facility who didn't need to die, as this inmate would have been released this month. And she wants to know, what is the Department of Corrections, why is it not doing contact tracing?
Well, I hate to publicly disagree with, Kim, but I believe that our institutions are engaged in contact tracing as much as possible, because we do try to determine as best we can who is the vector of bringing in the virus and where it's going. I mean, that's how we have to manage it. We have to be able to identify the source of some of these contacts in order for us to be able to manage folks once they've been identified as positive. So I do believe that we do contact tracing. Now, we may not do it to the same extent that's happening by trained contact tracers working for health departments around the country or around the state, but we do engage in some contact tracing.
So you're doing the contact tracing internally opposed to externally from public health officials?
Well, you know, I can't really answer that question because I'm not certain that the contact tracing is going beyond the institution. What I can tell you is that we do try as best we can to determine, you know, the source of the virus in particular situations as those situations occur.
We are talking with Kevin Carr, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections, which supervises nearly 20,000 incarcerated adults. You can join in. Do you have a family or friend who is incarcerated in Wisconsin? How are they doing in the pandemic? What questions do you have? 800-642-1234. Secretary, let's look at vaccines. When will inmates and correctional staff receive their vaccines? Will they be in the 1B phase that's next up?
Well, as you may know, and if maybe your listeners don't, there was the committee recommendation to the Secretary of the Department of Health Services and the governor last week that our staff and persons in our care be included in Category 1B. Now, I believe that that decision will be finalized sometime this week. And I'm hopeful that our staff and persons in our care will be included in that category.
Do you have plans for how you will administer vaccines at your facilities once they do arrive? Who will give them? How will that go?
Well, you know, in fact, there's a couple of things I'd like to quickly say about that. We've already started vaccinating all of our healthcare staff, and we plan on having that category of folks who were in 1A done by the end of this week. Whenever the decision is finalized as to what category our staff and persons in our care in, we are currently developing plans that we will finalize once the decision is announced. So we will be prepared and ready to go to deliver vaccines whenever we get the vaccines.
When you look at the situation with PPE, personal protective equipment, what kind of masks are being provided to inmates, or what are the, what is being forced enforced around masks in facilities?
Well, you know, there is a order that all people in state own buildings have to wear a mask. And obviously our facilities are state-owned buildings, so therefore all of our staff have to wear masks. Now, we have been providing cloth face coverings to the persons in our care since the beginning of the pandemic. In fact, Initially, when the pandemic broke out, it was many of our facilities that started to make the masks themselves in order to provide an adequate supply of masks for all the folks in our care. And right now we issue 3 masks a week that people can get washed and reuse. They have the ability to purchase additional masks if they wish, disposable masks through the commissary.
Kathy called from Shawano, couldn't stay with us. Kathy has a family member incarcerated in a jail. Is it normal for inmates to clean bathrooms and do other duties, especially now without PPE during COVID?
Not without PPE. And if her loved one is in a jail, I can't really account for what or answer or respond to her specific situation.
What are restrictions around the different activities that inmates would be normally under non-pandemic times be involved in? What have you had to do to curtail that?
Well, we've had to modify movement throughout the facility because obviously moving folks from place to place, especially because of the asymptomatic nature of this virus, can do nothing but spread the virus more. So we've had to curtail most of our normal activities, education, programming, recreation, you know, and we still try to provide some opportunity for those activities to occur, but not at the same level that they were taking place prior to the pandemic.
Secretary Carr, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome, and have a good day, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. Kevin Carr, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. Just ahead, we look at the financial picture for millennials who are expected as a group to earn less and accumulate more debt than their parents. Are you struggling to establish a career with a living wage? Is COVID pushing you out of the middle class? Share with us 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.